Well, that's what I see, Dale says. I watch you use it, and when you do, you're not yourself. You're not my sister.
I thought I knew what was best for you, she says.
But you don't! Only I can say that. Our parents, you, the masters who trained us, everyone wants to tell me what to be, to force something upon me. But I'm my own man. My own master.
His eyes go wide, as does his smile. And it's not madness or fury that Lannery sees there. It's joy. What are you going to do? She asks. Dale looks to the dusky sky, where stars are already emerging, and Ashlaw and Bogan peer from behind a haze of clouds. 100 lights move high up, satellites and spacecraft drifting high above Typhon's atmosphere.
I'm going to learn, he says, everything I can from every temple we both visit. And then after that, I'm going to the stars.
The stars?
I'm going to find my way home.
He says no more, does not elaborate, and Lannery's overriding fear is one of sadness, that the home they have together with their parents is not enough for Dale. Five days later, after journeying across the eastern extreme of Cato Zakar, where fungi forests gave way to swamps, and those in turn soon became sand dunes rolling kilometers toward the sea, they approach the coast from where the first of the Moon Islands is visible on the horizon. 100 kilometers and 7 islands beyond, the continent of Tulse. Though they talk and travel together, the distance between them is widening with every day. Lannery can feel that, and she senses that Dale does too. The difference is that he welcomes it. Dale breathes in deeply. He is invigorated by the energy of the ocean and the violence of the waves.
Beautiful, he says. Have you ever seen anything so beautiful, Lannery?
Rain is falling. The sea smashes against the sandy shore, the heavy dunes they stand upon fleeting in the lifetime of Typhon. The waves are topped with a rolling luminescence in the dawn light, countless minute creatures casting their glow across the waters. She can feel the power through her feet. It is humbling and, yes, beautiful. It's amazing, she says.
Puts your force to shame, huh?
He grins, and the sea breeze blows sheets of rain that soak his hair. Lannery does not respond, though she could. She could tell him that the power he feels is the Force, because it flows through the sea as well as the air and rock, the plants and ground, the living things that fly and run and crawl, and the dead things that rot beneath the soil and under the waves. She could tell him, but he would not listen. Worse, he would not understand. So she closes her eyes, and the rain and sea spray soak her as well. Later, in the coastal port of Ban Landing, they are offered an escorted crossing to Tulse.
The gelfish swarms are further south than ever this year, the woman says.
She has not told them her name, but she wears a ranger star at her belt.
I've been across the Moon Islands and back 7 times, and each time the craft I was in was attacked. I'd advise a scheduled crossing, journeyers. Those larger ships have special defenses to deal with anything the Moon Channel can throw at them, and if you go alone, you'll only have a small sailing boat.
We go alone, Dale says.
Eh, Lannery? We're journeying to learn and explore, after all.
The ranger objects, and yet Lannery sees a flash of respect in her eyes. Perhaps on her own great journey she did the same, though she does not tell them. They spend the night in Ban Landing, staying in a simple bunkhouse close to the water's edge. In the wooden beams that hold up the roof are carved thousands of names, journeyers from years past who stayed here before their own dangerous crossings of the Moon Islands to Tulse. Lannery spends some time looking for their parents' names, but she does not find them. Later, Dale sits out on the deck surrounding the bunkhouse. Great waves break on the beaches 0.5 kilometer away, and lit by starlight, only their swirling, luminous tops are visible, like giant coiling snakes in the dark. But she is looking at her brother. He lies on his back with his hands resting behind his head, staring up. Food? Lannery says. Dale takes the plate she has brought him and nods his thanks. It'll be dangerous.
Don't worry, little sister,
Dale says, even though she is older than he.
I'll look after you.
Their journey across the moon channel takes only 3 days, but Lannery will remember it forever. The sea is calmer when they set out at dawn the following day. The ranger meets them at the harbor and tells them how she has used the force to confuse and combat the threat of sea creatures, the deadly gelfish most of all, on her previous crossings. Then she wishes them well. They sail from island to island, stopping only to replenish water canteens before moving on. They sleep briefly on land, but spend all their waking time afloat. A storm blows up halfway through their journey. A gelfish swarm hits their boat and starts climbing the hull, oozing toxic tentacles, whipping at the air and seeking flesh. Lannery uses the force to punch them back into the sea. Dale uses his blaster to blow groups of them apart before they even reach the boat. The swarm passes, but they are not out of danger. A sea serpent appears as if from nowhere and almost capsizes the boat. Its head as big as a person's torso, teeth dripping venom. Lannery disorients the beast by touching its mind, and Dale stabs it several times with a boat hook. It slips away and flees, and Lannery senses it going deep, seeking a dark hole to hide in and repair its wounds. They battle together, taking on Tython's dangers, weathering its storms. But when they reach Tals at last, landing in a small seaport, Dale sets off from the moored boat without another word. For him, there is no time to waste, no point in stopping to rest. It's as if Anil Kesh has something for him, and he is impatient to get there. Storms thrash above Tals. Heavy rain strikes them like a hail of small stones. Lightning thrashes, and Lannery feels eddies in the force. The force storm makes her feel sick and unsteady, and Dale grabs her arm and helps her along. There's a new purpose in him now, and Lannery only wishes she knew what drove it. The Temple of Science is still 2 days' travel inland.
He calls it the Network, Tree said. It's a loose collection of contacts, informers, and spies, not only in Greenwood Station, but in almost every domed city on Nox, sometimes beyond. So loose that any break in the network protects everyone else. Any disruption to the links in its web cuts off everyone else.